alone. We've got to be sensitive to the Spirit and just what the Spirit is saying. And it's not that I didn't hear God a week ago. It's that it's almost like that constant, okay, what is happening now? What is happening? And you're constantly trying to hear the heart of God in the life of the church. I don't feel this morning, because I preached this morning, but I don't feel I've got eloquent words. I don't think I've got amazing. I just felt it was just for me, just God revealing what I should share. And so I just want to ask you to just bear with me, because I really feel just we're going into 2021 and we're running, and I feel God wants to spur us on. He wants to encourage us. He wants us to run with boldness this year and to lay off the things, like Chad was talking about, the papers, and it's almost like putting those things aside. You know, trying to think of that scripture where Paul says, you know, lay aside every weight and sin that ensnares you, because he wants you to run with endurance. And so there's that sense of just encouragement. That let's face this year, but let's take off the shackles. Let's remove the clutter for this year. And I got to admit, you know, I just remember when we started church here in George, is that there wasn't too much we had. I mean, it was a very basic sound system. There was very basic things. And we just had church at the Four Tracker Hall. I know those who remember Mario Surrett, Ian and Lucinda when we started. I don't know who else. But, you know. But it was very simple, wasn't it? It was very plain. And as things go, we begin to grow. We begin to have more administrative things. And those things in themselves are not bad. So I just want you to hear my heart. But those things are needed because we strive for excellence. As the church grows, there needs to be a sense of excellence because it's who we're doing it for, the excellence of one. We want the audience of one, and that's to the Lord. And that's why we do it. And so, yes, as we grow, but there's more things that happen, and you tend to begin to deal with more things. And so it's like the illustration with spinning the plates. I don't know if you've ever seen that, where you spin a plate and you spin a plate like they do at the circus, and you spin another one, and then you see them, they've got like five plates, and you've got to keep these things balanced. And it's the same for us. It's a sense of, God, we've got to keep this thing balanced, because in that there's growth, there's life. It's like juggling too. You know, you start off with two balls, and you're juggling, simple, poor trick or all. And then another one comes in, and it's three, four. Eventually, you know, you realize, and I'm sure a few times we've dropped the ball, and I know we have, but with the grace of God, you carry on. And so there tends to be a lot of clutter, but I felt even in this time of the COVID, I felt God simplify a lot of things for us. I'm talking about the church as a whole. It's kind of like, what's the main thing? What is the main thing that God has given us to simplify and to remove the clutter? It's not to say in a sense that those things are gone, but they're not as important as the main thing, okay? And so I want to ask you this evening, what is our primary ministry? What is our primary ministry? What is our primary ministry, our responsibility? Give me some, make disciples. Good. Okay. Loving Jesus. Yeah. No. I should have. Were you here this morning? Oh, how did you know? Did you tell him? I should have said, those who know, keep quiet. But yes. It's prophetic. Okay. I'll just give him that. But but you do tend to take more things and you begin to, you forget the main thing. Okay. And I'm just reminded of the church, in the Galatian church, where Paul addresses them. He says, you know, you started in the faith. You were running in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, I think maybe with all the clutter and things, you begin to run in the flesh. And those things are real. They need, but everything you begin to respond is in the flesh and not in the Spirit. It's not in faith. You kind of think, well, faith, you kind of put to the side because now you're more program-driven, or you're more, okay, this is how we do it, you know, and you rely less and less on the Spirit. And so Paul kind of rebukes the church in Galatia just about that. And let's face it, God has given us a blueprint. Okay, when we read Acts 2:42, it's a blueprint. It says that you know, this was what formed a healthy church. It talks about how they met together in each other's homes. They broke bread together. They had fellowship, worship. So all of those things in themselves are good, okay? Because they bring life. They create an environment that God can bring life into the life of the church. And so we've got to understand those things are not secondary, but they're important. But the primary, we've got to keep in mind, what is the primary responsibility of the church, the primary ministry that we have? And as I was just thinking about it, you know, because if I look at the church in Acts, it says they perform many signs and wonders, and God added to them daily. So there was life there. Would you agree with me? There was definitely things happening in that church. And so we want that. We look at the blueprint, okay, God, we try and see what we see there and try and implement it. Yeah, but we know at the end of the day, only God can really bless that. Only God can really bring that life. I mean, Chad, me, Bob, and elders, and Josh, Jen, whatever, we can only create the environment and say, God, well, that's what we saw you do. So we want to live it out as best as we know how. But God, you come and bring life here, because we can't. And we recognize even in ourselves that this will not happen without outside Jesus. Okay, so we need to understand that. And I'm just reminded just on just how God brings that life. And I know that many of us here are gifted. You know, we've got a lot of guys' giftings and ministries, but that in itself does not bring life. And I'm gonna share. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Bring that to me, Becky. You got that scripture. It says, yeah. Now, Paul's, I just want to give a bit of a background. Now, Paul's addressing a church because they were emphasizing a lot about ministry. They were emphasizing Paul's ministry, and they were emphasizing Apollos' ministry. And Paul's saying, look, you know, don't put the emphasis on us. Okay, and here, so let me read it. Because the guys were becoming what Paul would say is carnally minded. You know, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. And he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither is he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. Okay. So we recognize what Paul is saying is, look, I'm just a planter. That's all I do, plant. And you recognize that in people's lives. I recognize, even among you guys, I know people that are planters. I can see there's just something in you that gets things going. You know, you like initiators. You start something up. And Paul was like that. He was a planter. He would go into a city and just obviously find the leadership in that and establish a church. And he'd move on. And Paulus would be the kind of guy that would go there constantly and probably just water that. Hey, what needs to be nurtured within the life of this church? And so you find that people tend to be drawn to one ministry or the other in Paul's day. And they were dealing with it. And people begin to say, well, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I prefer watering. I prefer sowing, you know. And Paul's making them know, listen, it doesn't really matter. Because that is not the main ministry. My ministry is just there. And I'm going to be rewarded according to that ministry. But that does not bring life. That in itself does not bring life. And Paul recognized that. Sure. And I just realized too, when I look at that with Paul, we tend to gravitate towards what we prefer. So people were gravitating either to Paul or Apollos. And I want to say, even among us, I know there's teachers here. I know there's people that are got different giftings. I know there's people that are encouragers. I know there's people that are more evangelists, and there are people that are got other giftings among us. People are intercessors. Oh, you can ask Lauren. I remember many times we'd have the intercessors come to me and say, "We as a church are not praying enough. We need to be interceding." And I agree with her. She was right. We needed to pray more. And then you would have the pastoral guy saying, "Listen, we need to be addressing a lot of oaks with problems. They need to be loved. They need to be like, yeah, we agree. They do. Go love them. Go pastor them. We need help. You know, it takes time. It takes effort." Then you'd have the evangelist say, "We need to be on the streets more often. We're not there. We're not doing it." And yes, they're right. We need to be doing it. And so with all of that, and the intercessors and everybody, but you do tend to gravitate towards your gifting. You know why? Because God has put that in you. Okay? So we as an eldership recognize that. So when you have a gifting and you've got that spurring, that desire, that is a God-given thing. Okay? But I do want to bring this in understanding that in itself, no matter how strong it is within you, it's important because God put it there, but it's not the primary responsibility. And I'm going to prove it to you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, so we're all new creation, all right? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Who's been given that ministry of reconciliation? The pastors, the teachers, all of us. Huh? Okay. Ministry of reconciliation. That is Christ, God, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Can you just picture that for a moment? So God sends his son, his only son. I mean, he's precious. He sends his son, and his son dies for us. Okay? And part of that death, he's saying, look, there's a ministry that's come from this. That through my son, through me sending my son, that's the most amazing thing, is that he's going to die for the world, and he's going to reconcile man to me. Because we were at war with God, all of us, every single one of us. We were anti-God. Do you know that? We were at war with him. But God chose through his son to reconcile us to him. And then it says he's entrusted us to speak that ministry to others, to bring that ministry to others. That God is imploring through us, be reconciled to God. And so, yes, we've got these ministries and we've got these things, but you realize that my ministry, whether I'm prophetic, whether I'm a teacher, whether I'm an intercessor, whether I'm evangelist, that gifting alone has to be submitted under another ministry, the ministry of reconciliation. The purpose of why you evangelize is to reconcile man to God. The purpose you teach is to reconcile man to God. That's not just a once-off. Some people look at it as reconciliation as bringing person to Jesus, say the sinner's prayer, that's it. No, we've constantly been reconciled to God, constantly. Because there's a lot in me that needs to be reconciled. I'm not totally reconciled in myself. There's things that God confronts me with, and I think, yo, I'm actually anti-God in my perspective, my understanding. And people bring certain truths and certain revelations and certain encouragement that actually bring me to the place where I'm more and more reconciled to him, more and more closer. And I'm becoming more like Jesus in that. And I want to look at Jesus, because if we talk about giftings and ministries, we've all been given ministries. But think of it like this. When Jesus came, he had a ministry. What was Jesus' ministry? To reconcile man to God. Okay, that was the purpose. But let's talk about Jesus a bit. Jesus was the first apostle. Okay, what is an apostle? Someone who's sent, right? Who sent Jesus? The Father. Father sent Jesus to go reconcile man. So Jesus went. He died. So Jesus was an apostle. Jesus was also an evangelist. We see him preaching. We see him teaching about the kingdom. He was an evangelist. He was a teacher, teaching us the ways of God, which is totally contrary to the ways of the world. And he was teaching us the kingdom. Then we see Jesus was a shepherd. He was a pastor at heart. He wasn't just an evangelist. He wasn't just a prophet. He was a pastor. It says he looked at the crowds and he said he had compassion on them. It was a pastor's heart that had that. And he saw them as a sheep without a shepherd. Then we see Jesus was an intercessor. What did that mean? Well, there were times, and if you read scripture, you see him withdrawing from the crowds many times. Why? Because he went to go and pray. We need to go and pray to the Father, to go and intercede. We see Jesus as a prophet. Think of John 4 when he confronts the Samaritan woman living in sin. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, you're right, you've had many husbands. Why? Because he was prophetic in his ministry. And so he recognized that. And so Jesus, with all of that, of who he was, everything that he had, all his ministry was submitted under the Father. He says, I don't do anything of myself, but I do what I see the Father do. Okay, so even Jesus recognized, look, my main ministry here is to do what the Father sent me, to reconcile man to God. And in doing so, I will be prophetic. I will teach. I will intercede to do that. And you know, the amazing thing is when Jesus came and when he ascended, let's quickly go there. Go to Ephesians 4:8. You see let me quickly go here. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led hosts of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip the saints to the work of the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. So when we see Jesus ascending, and he says, I'm not going to just leave you alone. I'm going to impart my spirit into you. It's to your advantage that I go away, and I'm going to leave you with my spirit. And it says that he came and he gave gifts to man. So he imparted into us, to you and me, imparted himself. He has a gift for the prophetic. He has my gift of intercession. He has a gift of evangelism, to teach. He was imparting himself to us. And it says that we together are that body. We together are that. It's like the reflection of Jesus here on earth. And so we call to do all of those things. And so in a lot of ways, I want to say, if you're an intercessor, intercede. If you're a prophet, prophesy. Allow the gift, like Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift within you. We've all got a gift. We as elders don't want to squash that. When God uses the church, it's amazing what he's going to do. We're going to reflect the glory of Christ like you've never seen. In fact, we are always encouraging you guys as believers to be the priesthood of believers. Priesthood, stop being just a saint. There is no such thing in the kingdom. We are the priesthood of believers. And Jesus imparted himself to you. But to always recognize that impartation of the gift in itself is under a bigger gift, the gift of reconciliation. Okay, do you get it? Okay, so the problem is this is where we fall short. Sometimes the church becomes lopsided in the gift in itself. Now, let me explain this, because I kind of got a little bit of a revelation this morning. You know, one of the things I can say is that even in COVID time, you know, we've always understood the motive of why we do it, the why. Okay? We know that 2 Corinthians 5:14, it talks about the love of Christ compels me, okay? The love of Christ that should compel us to do anything we do. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you're teaching, prophecy, the love of Christ should compel you. Not people's opinion, not how good you look, how you stand out in the crowd. No, it's the love of Christ that compels you. Okay, that's the motive. That is why we do what we do. The what, we also know. I've just shared it, to reconcile man to God. That's what we call to do. The why. This is where we need to bring the balance. The why we do what we do. Why do you evangelize? Why do you prophesy? Why do you teach? Why do you intercede? You see, and I think just over this time that we've had the COVID, I've almost felt like there's been a shaking because the how, sorry, did I say the why? I mean the how. The how we do what we do. Okay, so evangelizing is how do we evangelize? Intercession is how do we intercede? Prophesying, how do we prophesy? Now, let's face it, we've been challenged with the how, even as a congregation, as an eldership. We're like, God, how do we do this? You know, COVID has kind of tied our hands in so many ways. How do we do? Because we know the why and the what hasn't changed, but just the how. And it can be confusing. It can be like, God, we need to find you in this. Hey, am I right? We've had to ask why. Well, how? Sorry, not why. Keep confusing why and how. But as we look at that, I just want to encourage you guys as a ministry, you know, the amazing thing that God does, it's through the manifold wisdom of God is made known through the church. Not through the evangelists, not through the prophets, not through the teachers, through us as a church. We begin to make known the manifold wisdom of God. And I just felt this evening, even this morning, is just that God is challenging us to run this year in faith, not to lose sight of what we call to do. Don't let COVID distract you. Don't let problems come and issues come. I felt God really, and I felt at the beginning of the year when we had that Brown on the farm by Walker, I really felt God saying, we need to start running with faith. Let's face this year with boldness. Let's face it with courage. Like God said to Joshua, you know, be strong. Because Joshua was going into a land he's never been before. He says, but Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. And this evening, I want to say to you, I feel God is wanting to really to put a courage within us that we run. But also at the same time that when we run and when we look at, we got the why and we've got the what. But when we run with the how, bring it under subjection to Jesus. Allow God to minister that thing through you, that the how begins more clarified to us. And you know why I'm so emphasizing that this morning is I felt like Psalm 133, where it talks about the oil being poured on Aaron and how God blesses Aaron. It says that oil that pours down on his head and pours down to his beard and it soaks into his clothes and it goes down and it says, and it talks about that God does that. It says that he blesses us as a church like that. Have I got that one? Okay, let's read it. Thank you, Vic. I don't think I gave you that one. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Like the precious oil on the head running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down the collar in his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there, now this is the part that's important, for there the Lord commands blessings and life forevermore. I love that scripture. You know why? Because I realize God's blessing is dependent on you and me coming together in that unity. It's not dependent on your gift. Just stop and think about that. It's not dependent on your gift. It's like those two words, blessings, life forevermore. I love that because what God's saying is, look, I've got two things that I've created, blessings and life. And when I see my church come together, the way I've instructed them, the way I've given them, when I see that happen, blessings and life, you will go there. Imagine that. Just think of that. I've commanded you blessings. I've commanded you life. When they do that, you go. You make sure you're there. And let me tell you, blessings in life will submit to that. But we as a church, we need to see that. Don't make it about your ministry. Submit that thing to Christ. Because God wants to break through in his church. When he is lifted up, we've been singing that song, be lifted up. But what did John say when he was baptizing people? I've got to be made low. What did he say? What's that? He must decrease, and he must increase. And so we have to do that, church. We have to decrease, no matter how painful it is, no matter about the rubbish all around us. Let's pick that thing up, allow Christ to come and take it from us, because we must decrease, and he must increase. And I want to emphasize this evening, because really, you know, just over this week of just seeing an anointed man fall, a man that I've quoted, a man I've listened to, a man I've taken a lot of encouragement for myself, and I'm like, God, how did this happen? And I felt God even challenging me. I put too much emphasis on the gift, and I don't know the person. And you know, that is the truth. This is the thing. You know that the gifts and the calling, the Bible says, is irrevocable. So it doesn't matter if you sinner. If you're a sinner after, and you, God will still keep that anointing on you. I don't know why God does that, but he does it. Say again? Okay, so I was just talking about Ravi Zacharias. It was a man that I really admired. Just a guy, I thought, you know, I've had a lot of, you know, just built even a lot of my, and it's not to say his teachings were wrong. It's just his life was not consistent with those teachings. And I'm reminded of what Paul says, keep your life and doctrine closely. Don't separate the two. The moment we divorce the two, we start thinking our ministry is what makes us good people. We think our ministry is what makes us mature. Let me tell you, your ministry has got nothing to do with maturity. If it did, a man like that would never have fallen. And I'm just here to encourage us as a church. Let's keep small. Let's keep humble. Let's keep accountable. Because when I look at that, I thought, God, if this man can fall, what are my chances? Really, I feel like the disciples, when when they saw that rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, look, I've done this, I've done that. And Jesus said, go and sell everything and come follow me. And he went away discouraged. And the disciples said, well, flip. Who can be saved? And Jesus said, yeah, it's impossible. I don't think we get that, church. It is impossible. Through Christ alone. And that's why the Bible says, when you see your brother fall, help him up and watch for yourself, lest you fall. Lest you fall. And I'm just realizing, I'm totally dependent on the grace of God. I know my heart. I know my thoughts. I know the things that I have to bring in submission to Christ. But I know I'm not foolproof. I know I'm vulnerable like you, but I need you guys to hold me accountable. And I want you to be open to that too. Because we want to grow as a body. We want to be more mature in Christ. But to do that, we got each other to do it. You don't do that alone. So can I maybe just pray that, or you want to add to that? Yeah, let's respond to that. Because don't we all want to be mature in Christ? So why don't we just stand in that and really in submission to that? Because I feel this is a year that God's going to commission us, church, and he's going to commission you with your gifting. So I'm feeling this evening, I'm not here to take away your gifting, because your gifting is important. I'm here to say, bring your gifting under submission of Christ. Bring it under the church, because God's going to multiply that gift, because it's submitted under the person of Jesus. It's to bring him glory, not you. When God recognizes that him alone gets the glory, he's going to make that thing grow. He's going to make that thing effective in you because you've submitted it to him. So, Lord, I want to pray this evening as we just submit to you, Jesus. I want to pray for every person here. Lord, we know that every single one of us are incapable in ourselves. We know that, flip, without you, Lord, it's impossible. We cannot please you. It's by your grace and your mercy alone that we do what we do. And so I want to pray this evening, Lord, as you just release the saints, as you release the priesthood of believers this evening, Lord, that we run the race to win. Lord, that we won't stumble and fall. And when we do, Father, I pray that we pick up our brothers when they do that. And watch for ourselves, lest we fall. And Lord, I just pray for the spirit of humility to be within us, Lord, as we become more accountable, more submitted one to another, that you are glorified, Lord, not our ministries, not our call, but that Jesus is glorified, that you be lifted up, as that song goes, Lord. Be lifted up, Jesus. Be lifted up in our ministry. Be lifted up in our families, in our homes, in our church, in our workplace. Be lifted up, Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would decrease, as John said, that you can be increased, Father. If you be lifted up, Jesus, you will draw all men unto you. And Father, we want people to be drawn to you, not to us, not to our ministries, not to our calling, but to you alone, Lord, because you are the one who's going to set them on a path of life and righteousness. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the call. We thank you for the purpose. But I pray that, Lord, it won't just stop here. It will be released now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Benny. Yes, man, I tell you, meat and potatoes. Come on, church, let's walk. Let's go from strength into maturity. Let's walk into maturity. No longer being like those little babies suckling on a bottle of milk, but liquor, meat and potatoes, unless you're Trevor, who just says vegetables.